This is Rackabix After Hours.
Good morrow, folks and other folks of the internet. Welcome to a music and technology podcast. It's Rack Addicts After Hours time, episode 139. I'm Ben, Pete is with me, and it's the usual duo. We're going to say things and talk to you about stuff. Most importantly, Pete, what have you been doing this past week?
Well, after last week describing how wonderfully my Bose S1 Pro Mini PA was operating, the following weekend it didn't operate quite as well.
How rude. What happened?
I know. I couldn't get the Bluetooth pairing party mode thing to behave itself.
Apps.
So I'm not quite sure what was going on. I anticipated that as it had been performing so well the previous week and I hadn't touched anything or reconfigured it, that I'd just get it out the flight cases and just go and it'd be fine. And I had a very frustrating 45 minutes fighting with the app and just trying to get the things to behave. But alas,
annoying.
They didn't want to play ball.
Was it in an environment with more erroneous Bluetoothiness floating about in the air?
Possibly. I think that might have been interference. It kept saying it was trying to attach to a system called Cozy Ears.
Mm.
And I'm slightly at a loss because I haven't got anything that goes by that name. But I suspect possibly last week that when I set up the party mode situation, if you don't give it a name, it just plucks one out the ether.
Mm. So could be the case.
But no, it just didn't want to pair up properly. So I had both speakers working. And what was happening is all the audio was coming out of one speaker. And then randomly, it would come out the other speaker and switch off the previous one. So it was oscillating between the speakers.
Keeping you on your toes with its stereo field.
Yes, so I'm going to have to get it all.
Was there ever a stereo field? Or was it just mono
from
various places?
Sort of, yeah, exactly that. It's just sort of... The people in attendance didn't really notice. That was the main thing.
Good.
But it was very frustrating. Very mm-hmm. frustrating indeed. So after me waxing lyrical about how wonderful it was, and I still think it is a great system, it let me down.
Bose, what have you done?
Also, on top of that, just a little nugget, I decided to challenge some of my colleagues in the keyboard department to take their piano grades.
Oh, yeah. What, at the shop?
Well, not necessarily at the shop, but I just thought it'd be a good idea because obviously grade one and two aren't exactly that challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as if I'm sort of any sort of virtuoso. I've been struggling with the piano for 40 years and still can't really play it at all well. And I don't know, it's one of those weird thoughts that came across my mind. Ooh, what about doing grades? And then I thought I would challenge the rest of the team as well.
It was very rare that we actually had a pianist of any kind in our midst. Mostly it was the techies that arrived in the department and they sort of had to blag it a bit. Because we can be fine with the technology, but the mechanics and artistry of playing often eluded us, I think.
Yeah, that's why it's always a relief when you get a really good pianist come into the department and treat you to some fine technique.
Yes, or a really great customer, especially when they play Genesis. Those are my favourites. Only happened twice, I think, while I was there.
Yeah, I think I was there on one of those occasions because I was talking to the gentleman about it because it makes your ears prick up when you hear a particular thing, a particular rendition or something. I heard a gentleman in the adjacent department a few months ago playing an acoustic guitar piece from the Yes album Fragile.
Oh, nice.
And he was playing it very well and I was drawn in. I had to go and speak to him and talk to him about it.
Awesome. My favourite occasion when that kind of thing happened, well, not a specific one, you just kind of poke your head round the corner, catch their eye and just, you do the sort of, it depends on the music it is. If it's a metal riff, you just gurn at them, they gurn back, and all is well with the world. If it's not metal or rock, you can kind of do the this thing, the Italian primo, whatever that gesture is, or just kind of respectfully.
I always regard that as a sort of okay.
It's all okay. I think in diving, that's what that means. I'm all okay. But when I use it, it's more of a delicious type situation. Because when you're diving, you don't do thumbs up because that means get me up, I'm drowning or something. Is that the
Well, certainly, I think it does mean up and then that one means down.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. I've forgotten. I haven't done any sub aqua for several decades.
Well, I never have, so don't listen to anything I say. Are those the tales from the week?
Pretty much so.
Wonderful. So, which angle shall I attack from? I was sitting at the kitchen table when suddenly the urge to modulate overcame me. Maybe that happens to you, Pete. I don't know. But, of course, I have no modular anymore. No synths of any kind, except the virtual ones. And I opened up VCV Rack, and lo and behold, I spent about 45 minutes to an hour, and I actually made a thing. And I'm very pleased that it grabbed my attention, and I did sort of enjoy it. I'm going to play for you what I made. VCV Rack, here we are. A bit more volley. Feel free to chop this down as you will, Pete.
Is that rain?
I don't know that this is the rain from yesterday, but it is some of my sampled rain in a virtual radio music, because we do love the radio music. And there we have it. Hooray! Pretty much the same kind of thing that I used to attempt to make when I had modular anyway.
And that was directly from VCV.
Indeed.
Now, it wasn't a pre-recorded.
Technically, is that the first live performance on the Rack Addicts After Hours podcast?
I believe it is.
Wow, I should have prepared more. I didn't realise it was such a prestigious occasion. But yeah, I like it. It's just nice and simple. There's, how many Turing machines have I got in here? Four, because I do love the Turing machine. And a radio music, some instruo stuff, Bafaco, the usual suspects.
As I was saying the other day when we first started talking about you using the VCV software again, I am going to have to get it all loaded up into the studio and give it a go.
It's good fun. There is, when you go on the website and you see the library of free stuff that you can, well, free modules that you can implement into your system, when I first installed it, there weren't that many, so I just went, I'll just have all of it. And don't do that, because there's so much stuff. Just get the big brands. And then if you need something, just go and search for it. Just click add, refresh the program, and hey, you've got it. It's fun.
I've never even looked at it as a program, apart from when you showed it to me.
Yeah.
Never tried it in any shape or form.
Very intuitive. Nothing really to know. You just use your modular instincts.
Your modular nous.
Exactly. So maybe inspired by that or something. I don't know. Either way, I recorded a little bit of that, and I've chucked it on the YouTube channel. Yes, a while ago, I converted my YouTube channel into the ModCaf one because kind of the same subject matter, and I had 800-something subscribers there, and I thought, why not? ModCaf is the stuff I'm doing. I'd like the community to have some eyes on the stuff that we make already. So there we go. So I've been uploading to the other channel. But I thought I might as well go back through what's now private on the ModCaf channel and just make sure I can still access it. So I put my EP stream from the cassette up on there, and that one's just up there, but I've grabbed a few others, and this one shall be premiering later this week, I think. but a sneak peek on Rack Addicts After Hours. So there is a track on my EP, my favourite track, because I wasn't fully responsible for it, is Paragon, the last track. That was a jam that I did ages ago with Nick Cohen, not the one that you videoed, alas, that is lost forever. But yes, a jam at Nick's place between his Rhodes and my modular, and this, which I'm about to play you, is two jams before that, I think. On the same day, but two patches previously. And you can hear Nick improvising with it and kind of being surprised by what the patch is doing and playing. Yes. Nick Cohen was a colleague of ours and possibly the only proper pianist we ever... Oh, wait, no, there's Ed. Ed as well.
And there were some previous people.
I mean, there were.
Over the years, they've had a few good players.
One of the few incredibly talented people, a jazzy man and excellent at improvising. So here's the stuff anyway.
Sort of reminded me of Vangelis a bit sort of Blade awesome. Runner-ish.
Yeah, I can see that. I'll take that compliment. Yeah. So that was the standard patch that I did all of the time was A Clock into Bafaco Burst, the burst generator. So that fires 8 to 16 triggers in quick succession into the clock input of Turing Machine, which then is quantized and fed into something like Rings or Pluck, but one of those digital car plus strongy polyphonic voices, so you get this kind of strummed stringy thing effect, buckets of reverb, and then let Nick at it. Basically,
I still have the video that I took of you and Nick.
I've still got it as well. Alas, I don't think it is possible to retrieve the audio.
Was there no audio on the video?
There might be bits of Rhodes and Kalimba, but because it was all piped into the control room and not really amplified in the room, because we were just on headphones, you have no idea what we were doing.
Yeah, I'm not really sure whether I was taking a feed from the desk to put it into the camera. I can't remember.
I don't think you were, but I can find out right now. Because I've been organised with my files, I can actually... Here it is. What about this one? Okay, we'll come back to that later while it's downloading. Yeah, that'll work. So, yeah, I've been synthing a bit, and that's cool.
We have a synthy resurgence in Ben's house.
Just a smidge. Just subtly creeping in.
But we've also had you contemplating pieces of hardware as well.
And... Yeah, I have no money. So I can dream for now. That's what's going to happen. Right. Two small nuggets of news. Are you ready?
I am ready.
This one is 4U Modular. So do I know anybody that's 4U? No, I don't. But it's still cool nonetheless. Which format are we talking? Buchla. Ooh, is it? It is. And this is... We've got three modules... Yes, indeed, three modules. Oh, man, I just saw the prices. Ow. Anyway, Buchla format, and this is somebody who is a big VCS3 fan. So they've decided, you know what, Buchla needs some classic VCS3 action. And there are three modules, one of which is a triple oscillator, and it does look the VCS3 business with those pretty colours and the, what they call the 10-turn pots for the tuning, those bad boys on the left, though this time featuring banana jacks. So we've got that one. We also have a dual filter, which can be used as oscillators, and an envelope shaper and noise generator, of course, based on the old designs from the VCS3. So that's cool if you're a Buchla person. Price time, Pete, you're going to have to place your bets. So, triple oscillator, we are in euros. Would you like me to give you some Buchla module reference prices?
These are third party Buchla compatible.
Third party. Buchla, yeah, that's the stuff.
Buchla compatible modules.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The oscillator.
Yes. Triple oscillator.
1,500 euros.
It's not too far off. 2,120. and then dual filter 1620, envelope 1480.
You want a price?
Those are the prices.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the company is Sound Freak Modular.
It's only really any good if you've got other Buchla or Buchla compatible stuff.
Yes, indeed.
Especially if it's banana jacks.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds, I mean, it's not a lot cheaper than Buchla stuff itself, is it?
No. I'm going to have a look for context for myself.
I mean, being West Coast synthesis, does Buchla do anything with a filter in it?
I wonder if there's one in like their modern stuff. Let me have a look.
I know they sort of do the low pass stuff, don't they?
Mm.
But not their full.
So there's a dual, ooh, what's that? Braids, which is cool. That might even be rings. This is on KMR's website, by the way. Ooh, their version of rings is £719. We've got modal synthesis. Oh, wait, that might be elements. I'm just looking at all these mutable doodads. Okay, so what is that? I don't know what that is. Mixer and preset manager for £15.99. Great British squiddly poppers. Mixer and preamp, £999. What I believe is the voice part of a music easel. £2,599. Double matrix mixer, £2,139. Ooh, it's pricey. But yeah, they do seem to fall in line with the Buchla stuffs.
So I can imagine the only advantage is that it's unique and something different to what Buchla produce themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would be cool to have a subtractive style bit in your Buchla machine, though I'm sure there are other options in the Buchla world.
Well, there's quite a few sort of hybrid-y things about. I'm not necessarily saying Buchla compatible, but there's certainly things that claim to be a bit West Coasty and a bit East Coasty.
Yeah, and also lots of desktop banana style synths as well.
Yes.
Our second piece of synthesizer news, the Erica Synths Percons HD01 that's been floating around a little bit and I don't know that we've really talked about, but there's a Lupop video, and we know and love Lupop because they're very thorough, they're very in-depth and technical. If you want to see what a machine is about, go find it. So, big format, percussivable, flexible synth machine. It is quite pricey, but here's a little bit of sound for you. Big noisy boys. Big synth half on the top, big sequency bit on the bottom. If that sounds like your stuff, go check it out. What are the prices on this bad boy? Ooh, about 1700 big squiddly boys. Let me read the specs to you, just so you have a bit of a better idea of what you're working with if you want to splash out 1700 on this thing. Four voices. These are digital sound engines with analog multimode filters and distortion. Eight controls per voice. You have velocity-sensitive trigger inputs if you want to play it with drum pads, which is cool. Individual outputs for the voices, sends and returns and such. Pattern memories in the sequencer. Built-in BBD delay and a compressor. There's modulation with eight destinations. It's an LFO in there. You have separately dividable / time divisions and multiplications on the sequencer lanes, which is cool. Ratchets and probabilities, shuffle and MIDI stuff. So fairly comprehensive options. If you think it sounds cool, there it is. The Percons. Go watch the Lupop video. Well, the end is nigh. Of the world, probably, but of this podcast episode, definitely. That means it's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. And I'm going to go first, because then Pete's going to do his What's He Found on a YouTube. I've got some music for you. Now, we're talking about an English, or at least British, artist who seems and sounds quite modular and has floated on the edges of my musical awareness for a while. I can't even remember how or why I decided to go and listen to a thing. But either way, Rival Consoles. Do you know Rival Consoles?
I am not familiar with Rival Consoles.
Neither was I, but I definitely knew the name, because I think Ian might have been to see them kind of recently. Anyway, there's a tune, I believe, from a new album that is sort of emerging in singles form at the moment, but this is one called World Turns. I'm going to play it for you, Pete, though of course it's not going to appear on the podcast because copyright, so go and find it on YouTube and other streaming services. World Turns by Rival Consoles. It does sound very modular in its writing and composition. It sounds very feasible on a modular, and it just sounds big. It's big, and it's pretty cool. I might take a good listen to the whole album when it turns up. It's not exactly a driving rhythm, but it really moves forwards in a certain way, which I'm not musically educated enough to tell you about.
Okay.
Yeah. YouTube time. Pete, what have you got for us?
Right. This is a channel that I have been aware of for quite a few years, to be honest, and I just thought it might be appropriate to mention it today.
Mm.
And the channel is entitled Vinheteiro, which we think might be Portuguese.
Language Portuguese, potentially the Brazilian form of
possibly.
Portuguese.
Anyway, the channel's description is, this is a channel specialised in piano. Here you will hear classical music, video game music, cinema, anime, and etc. The piano arrangements of this channel are all made by Lord Vinheteiro. Anyway, I'll try and describe or tell you about some of the videos, and they hopefully will be self-explanatory. Gentleman, he seems to be a very good pianist, but there's a certain comical aspect to this.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually talk. He just sort of plays and then
stares creepily into the camera the whole time. It's
yes.
Really good.
And so you get various videos like Bach on a bottle organ.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend 48 hours on a 2-minute video.
I enjoyed that one. That was quite funny.
When you have so many pianos and can't play just one. When you spend 36 hours on a 60-second video, obviously he spends a lot of time on these videos for some apparent reason, and it just goes on and on like that, and he does publish quite a lot of videos and has been doing it for quite a long time. And then sometimes he'll just do something like this one's just entitled ABBA Gimme 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 A Man After Midnight.
Yeah, there's a little bit of not clickbait to his titles, but they're just intriguing enough but perfectly accurate. I think he's got a nice balance there.
Yes, I mean some of them are quite different. Classical music used in Squid Game.
Mm-hmm. So, I was just looking at that.
Yeah, I mean there's reams or there's legion of these videos and it just goes on. So I mean I'm looking back, that's 3 years ago. Let's go forward, let's go back. So we're going 5 years ago, back, 7 years ago. Let's see how far back he goes. There's definitely a Brazilian theme. Just saw the Brazilian national flag. And we're still going back. And the oldest video is 14 years ago.
Ooh, wow. He's really been going since
the
beginning.
Yeah, so really quite an early adopter in the respect of being a YouTuber. Anyway, that is my multimedia recommendation for this week. The YouTube channel Vinheteiro.
Wonderful stuff. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to this little podcast of ours. We've been making slow but definite progress towards upgrading Rack Addict Towers. We'll tell you all about it when it's finished. Farewell!